anticipation, expectation, and realization. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in slavery, they were in bondage, and they did not realize all the blessings that God had for them. They were in slavery. They could not foresee and understand the awesome power of God and what He was going to do for them, even when Moses came. The picture of Israel coming out of Egypt is an anti-type. It's a foreshadowing of us coming out of our own slavery and our own bondage and coming into salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be addressing that today. But before we do, I would like to bring your attention back to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And read that again. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. It says, "Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And so, Lord, we come before You today. And, Lord, I thank You for the prayers that have already been prayed. But, Lord, I just need an extra measure of Your grace today. I need an extra measure of Your power. I ask, O Lord, that You would help me to deliver this message the way You intend it to be delivered. Lord, I pray that You would open our hearts and You would open our ears. And God, that we would be able to receive what You have for us. Lord, there are some people today who need blessings from You. There are some people today who, Lord, they're starving for a relationship with You. There are those who are starving for a touch from You. And so, Lord, I pray that You would meet those expectations today. And we'll give You the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was encouraged this week by one of the texts that I saw on a thread that said, this was on a Monday morning. The text read, "I woke up this morning expecting God to do something about a certain situation in my life. It was a difficult situation. And before the day was over, God had changed everything around, and it had become a wonderful situation." And I praise the Lord for that. And I think we need to walk in expectation. If you don't walk, so expectation is kind of like faith. And if you don't walk in faith, if you don't walk in expectation, then you're not going to receive the things that you would desire. And so I want to encourage you every day, every day, every day, wake up with expectation. We read this passage that we just visited last week, but I want you to get that in your heart. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to understand what the depth of that. There's another passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Say, "blessed us." Turn to your neighbor and say, "blessed you." "Blessed me." "With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Isn't that amazing? That God has blessed you and blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There's not one left out. Every spiritual blessing. So oftentimes when you read a promise or a principle in the New Testament, you can go back into the Old Testament and find a story, or you can find something that took place in the physical, what we are to experience in the spiritual. And so that's what we're going to do today. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, or about 400 years. There was a period of time in the beginning where they were just visitors in Egypt. But after a while, the Pharaoh got so concerned that the children of Israel were growing to such a large extent that he was concerned that Israel would maybe join with other forces and overtake Israel. And so what they did, what Pharaoh came up with, a good plan, he thought, was to put Israel in bondage and make slaves out of them. For approximately 400 years, Israel was slaves to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Day in, day out, toiling, striving, no hope of a future, no hope for help. And one day, this guy Moses shows up. And Moses says to them, "The Lord has sent me, the Lord God has sent me to deliver you from bondage." Now, they were excited. They were in expectation. They were anticipating the deliverance that Moses had shared with them, that God had promised to them. They were ready to go. As a matter of fact, Moses told them, he said, be sure, in verse 19 of chapter 3, be sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even in a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely, of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, so this is what they were to do before they left Egypt. So God is preparing Moses, and Moses is preparing the people. And he said, God's going to visit us. And when he visits us, you are to go to your neighbors. You go to knock on the door. You're going to go knock on the Egyptian's door. And when the wife comes to the door, you say, "Listen, I need your jewelry. I need your clothes. I need your articles of silver. I need your gold." And the Egyptians will be so glad to get rid of you, they'll just give you the stuff. That's what Moses was preparing them for. Okay. And so listen. God is preparing them for the day that's coming. Can you imagine the thoughts of the ladies? I mean, they're in slavery. They don't have any valuables. They don't have anything. They've got worn out clothes. They've got worn out shoes, and they may have made a necklace out of seashells or something else, but they had nothing of worth. And God said, "When you leave, I want you to plunder the Egyptians." Can you imagine what the thought was going through those ladies' heads? Ooh, man, let it be today. I want it to be today. And so in chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, now the children of Israel, so what had happened is God had performed 10 miraculous plagues in the children of Israel and toward the Egyptians. And the last one was, if you remember, the 10th plague was that the firstborn child was to die. Not only of the families in Egypt, but also of their livestock. And so this curse, this plague, was to go throughout all the land of Egypt, and there was not one family that was not mourning and crying and weeping the next day. Now, the crops had already been depleted because of the hail and because of the locusts and other things. So they had no wheat, they had no barley. Everything was destroyed. The hail had come and destroyed most of the animals. Some people took some animals inside their home because they really heard God and said, "Man, I don't want my animal, I don't want my cow to die, so I'm going to bring my milk cow in. I'm not going to want my goat to die, I'm going to bring my goat in." And so they were able to save a few, but by and large, everything had been destroyed. Egypt, it was worse than war because God had visited Egypt. But the morning after the 10th plague, Pharaoh told Moses, he said, get your people, get your stuff, and get out of here. And so Moses told the people, ladies, it's time to go knock on the doors. This is what happened in chapter 12. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them whatever they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Did you know it took an act of faith to go knock on that door? It took an act of faith to go and ask someone whom you had been a servant to and in bondage to go knock on their door and say, hey, Ben, I sure like that diamond necklace. Would you give that to me? Oh, yeah, here it is. Oh, I love those bracelets. They're made of pure gold. I like those bracelets. Give those to me, too. Okay, get. And they just started taking all of these articles. Oh, would you give me that silver pitcher that you have? I can use that for my daughter's wedding. Give that to me. And so they get that silver pitcher. Everything they had, they began to give to the Israelites. Isn't that crazy? But the Egyptians were so afraid of the God of Israel that they were willing to disperse of everything they asked for. They just wanted them to get out of the country so that they would not receive any more plagues from the Lord because they had the fear of the Lord. Actually, the wise men, the counselors of Pharaoh had told Pharaoh days ahead, man, we need to just go ahead and get rid of them because they're destroying the country. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he wouldn't let them go. He wouldn't let them go. And finally, after this event, they were able to leave Egypt with the riches of Egypt. Isn't that crazy? They plundered Egypt because God fought for them. But then there's another episode regarding these blessings that God had given them. And we find this in Exodus 33, verses 1 through 6. And then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said this to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments on Mount Horeb. Did you know that a person, a Christian, who has all the spiritual blessings given, that sometimes they're not able to walk in them? And that's what happened to these Israelites. Because they were stiff-necked, because they were obstinate, because they were stubborn, because they did not have a heart that was right with God, then God said, you can no longer walk in the blessings that I gave you. They're still there. The blessings are still there, but you're not able to walk in them. That's what had taken place with Israel. Let me tell you what happened. So Moses was up on the mountain meeting with God for 40 days. And while God was giving Moses the commandments, Moses was in his presence. And as he was in his presence, man, things were going good. And then God told Moses, get down from this mountain. There's something going on that you need to see. So Moses went down the mountain, and as he got closer, who was with them? Joshua. Man, Jacob came to mind and Joseph came to mind, but I knew that wasn't. Joshua was with him. And Joshua said, Moses, that sounds like there's a battle going on. And Moses said, no, it's not a battle. It sounds like there's a party going on. And when they got down there, what had happened was Aaron had taken a lot of the gold earrings and he had fashioned a golden calf. And then the children of Israel began to bow down to this golden calf and say, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. It ticked God off. And rightly so. And rightly so. And so God said, listen, because I have given you all of these blessings, I've delivered you from slavery, I've delivered you from bondage, but you are no longer able to walk in the blessings because you have a hard heart, because your attitude isn't right. You need an attitude adjustment, is what he was saying. I see a lot of people who pray to receive Christ, and they are really excited for a while. And then, in a matter of time, they turn back to the bondage that they came out of. And when a person does that, though the Lord, if they were true believers, and sometimes I wonder, was it just an emotional thing? Did they truly give their heart to the Lord? Is this something that they are just struggling with at the moment? If that's the case, if they are a true believer, the blessings are theirs, but they're not able to receive them because they're not walking in the path that God would have them walk in. Others make a decision to follow Christ, and it really wasn't true in their heart. We used to sing a song entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Are you familiar with that song? So sing it with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. So listen, that should be our attitude. I'm not going back to bondage. I'm not going back to slavery. All through that journey from Egypt to the time they got to the promised land, to Canaan, you'd hear the Egyptians say, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. Oh, I want to go back to Egypt. Oh, let's get a leader and take us back to Egypt. Listen, when the Lord has delivered you, when the Lord has empowered you to walk in freedom, when the Lord has removed you or released you from bondage, please don't go back. Please, man, you didn't like it then, and you won't like it when you go back. God has something better for you. The enemy will entice you and say, oh, look, don't you remember when you had it so good in Egypt? You got to eat leeks and onions. And that's what they were. Oh, we had leeks and onions in Egypt. We don't have any out here in the wilderness. My word. You can feast on leeks and onions if you want to. Or you can feast on the blessings of the Lord if you want to. But a lot of it depends upon you. A lot of it depends upon your heart attitude. Now, some of you have received healing in this congregation, physical healing. This is kind of a warning to you. Because did you know that you could lose your healing with the wrong attitude? I didn't ask Tom if I could share this, but you remember Tom and Renee. Tom was battling cancer, and his testimony is that he knew the Lord was bringing him here for healing. And so over a period of time, the Lord revealed to him that there was some unaddressed anger in his heart. And so every year he would go and get a colonoscopy or some kind of test, and they would always find polyps. They would always find cancerous something. And so his testimony is, when he dealt with the anger and went in for tests, there were no more polyps. There was no longer any sign of cancer in his body. So I'm just saying this. Did you know that ill feelings and bad attitude toward other people can cause you to lose your blessing? And so if that happens, then I'm suggesting to you by the word of God that you address those issues in your heart, because it could very possibly cause you to have some physical problems instead. And God wants to bless you. I believe God wants to bless each one of us with good health. But we have to walk in what God has called us to walk in. And I have to check my heart daily, because things creep up. And I can either hold on to that stuff or I can let it go. And, you know, Cheryl shared last week that the Lord had cured her of cancer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Cheryl, I'm just going to say to you, you need to check your heart. Make sure you don't have anything, any ill will. Make sure relationships are good. Make sure you're in line with the Lord. Okay? If you've received any offenses, deal with it. So it's possible for children of God who have the blessings of God at their disposal to be unable to walk in them. Do you believe that? Is it possible that God has supplied many blessings for his children, and they don't experience a blessing? And the question I have is, why not? If that is the case, why not? And this is something that I'm wrestling with myself. Do I really love God, or do I just love his blessings? Do I really love God, or do I just love the idea of him? Do we love God, or we just love what he's done for us? Do I really love him? If God were to remove all of his blessings, would you still love him? Would you still seek after him? Would you still desire him? Can we expect his blessings if we love his blessings and love what he does for us more than we love him? Some good questions. Sometimes God just grants us grace and mercy and just pours it out even when we don't love him like we ought to. That's because he's love. So the Israelites were more in love with God's blessings than they were in love with God. A fellow named David Reeser writes, "A number of years ago, I had the privilege of teaching at a school of ministry. My students were hungry for God, and I was constantly searching for ways to challenge them to fall more in love with Jesus and to become voices for revival in the church. I came across a quote attributed most often to Reverend Sam Pasco. It is a short version of the history of Christianity, and it goes like this. Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. Some of the students were only 18 or 19 years old, and I wanted them to understand and appreciate the importance of the last line. So I clarified it by adding an enterprise. That's a business. After a few moments, Martha, the youngest student in the class, raised her hand. I could not imagine what her question might be. I thought the little vignette was self-explanatory and that I had performed it brilliantly. Nevertheless, I acknowledged Martha's raised hand. Yes, Martha, she asked a simple question. A business? But isn't it supposed to be a body? I cannot envision where this line of questioning was going. And the only response I could think of was yes. She continued. But when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? The room went dead silent. For several seconds, no one moved or spoke. We were stunned, afraid to make a sound because the presence of God had flooded into the room. And we knew we were on holy ground. God had taken over the class. Martha's question changed my life. For 6 months, I thought about her question at least once every day. When a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? There's only one answer to her question. The answer is yes. The American church, tragically, is heavily populated by people who do not love God. How can we love him? We don't even know him. And I mean really know him. I stand by my statement that I believe the most American Christians do not know God, much less love him. The root of this condition originates in how we came to God. Most of us came to him because of what we were told he would do for us. We were promised that he would bless us in life and take us to heaven after death. We married him for his money, and we don't care if he lives or dies as long as we can get his stuff. We have made the kingdom of God into a business, merchandising his anointing. This should not be. We are commanded to love God and are called to be the bride of Christ. That's pretty intimate stuff. We're supposed to be his lovers. How can we love someone we don't even know? And even if we do know someone, is that a guarantee that we truly love them? Are we lovers or prostitutes? I was pondering Martha's question again one day and considered the question, what's the difference between a lover and a prostitute? I realized that both do many of the same things, but a lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as you pay. Then I asked the question, what would happen if God stopped paying me? He goes on to say, for the next several months, I allowed God to search me to uncover my motives for loving and serving him. Was I truly a true lover of God? What would happen if he stopped blessing me? What if he never did another thing for me? Would I still love him? Please understand, I believe in the promises and blessings of God. The issue here is not whether God blesses his children. The issue is the condition of my heart. Why do I serve him? Are his blessings in my life the gifts of a loving father, or are they a wage that I have earned or a bribe payment to love him? Do I love God without any conditions? It took several months to work through these questions. Even now, I wonder if my desire to love God is always matched by my attitude and behavior. I still catch myself being disappointed with God and angry that he does not meet some perceived need in my life. I suspect this is something which is never fully resolved, but I want more than anything else to be a true lover of God. The truth is, God will bless you. God does bless. Even when our motives are wrong, He often blesses. God wants to bless you. God's desire is to bless you. As a child of God, you have access to the throne. Every heavenly blessing is at your disposal for the asking. But the reason you may not be walking in the blessings is a hard attitude. And perhaps you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, but you've never really learned to love Him like you ought to. That's my goal. So much of my life has been spent on wanting God's blessings without really wanting Him to be first place, to love Him irregardless. Well, that's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for this church, that we learn to love Him regardless. Perhaps today there are some of you who've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And He's a God that's kind of way out there, and you really don't connect with Him. You really don't communicate with Him. But He's there for you. And He wants you in His kingdom. He wants you to become His child. And so would you give Him your heart today? And perhaps today God wants to pour out a blessing of healing, physical or spiritual. Maybe He wants to free you from bondages, just like He did for Israel. Perhaps, as I was reading, you've realized that your relationship with God is more of a prostitute than a lover. So the altar is open. I'm going to be here at the front. Matt is going to be in the back. And if there's some things and areas in your life that you need to get right with Him, not because of His blessings, but because you just want to know Him better, then I'm encouraging you, make that known to the Lord. And if you need prayer, I will be here. Matt will be in the back. And so the altar is open. Father, we come before You today. I just want to thank You for all of Your many blessings. We don't deserve them, but You pour them out just because You're God and because You love us. Lord, help us not to take that frivolously. Help us not to be a prostitute, but a lover. And love You just because of who You are, not because of what You do for us. Lord, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.